Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Defense on quick changes can come up with a big play. What do you attribute that to, and is that an area that you guys focus on that a lot?
You know, as I mentioned, they made some plays.
Yeah, I think at that point you just got to put all the ebbs and flows of the game behind you and look ahead. And credit to our defense for getting us the ball back, time on the clock, and giving us a chance to win it.
Or you can credit the Bears running back for falling down and giving them the ball back. Of course, then James Pierre, I still don't know what happened on that play. They ran a quick clip. They didn't really cover it. It was only one of the biggest plays in the game. And the broadcast gave some weird little clip and didn't even talk about it and didn't bring. Well, so they did bring on Sterator, who said, yes, if there's an injury, even when the clock is stopped, you get docked that last time out. To which I would have said, okay, is there a time frame on how quick you have to get off the field? Because it didn't seem like the game was delayed at all. The Bears lined up to punt right away. Like, why were they docked a timeout?
I don't like that whole thing. Hypothetically, let's say that, you know, when somebody goes down and they have to be carted off the field.
And
are you charged with an injury because someone had a serious
charged
with a timeout? Well, that makes no sense to me.
So why is that rule in there?
Because they're trying to prevent
fake injuries.
Yeah,
I know.
Flopping.
I know. But then the question but how is an advantage with the clock stop, Bob? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I don't like that whole concept.
Why would a fake injury matter if the clock is stopped?
Yeah, it shouldn't, because the clock stopped.
So then I have to ask about Pierre. It didn't look like he was actually hurt. I could be very wrong about that. It looked like he flopped when he tripped over DJ Moore.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if he was actually hurt, why wouldn't his teammates be alert and literally dragging him off the field so that they're not docked a timeout that may have cost them a football game that might cost them the division and a playoff spot?
Well,
I'm baffled if
he's legitimately hurt and you start doing that, you could hurt him more. I don't know. You know,
well,
some
it certainly
guys
wasn't a catastrophic injury because the game didn't even
I've
stop.
I've seen a lot of non-contact injuries that you would never suspect was a problem and it turned out to be good. So I don't know the answer to that, but I never did like that rule.
That would be one of my first questions for Tomlin is, Mike, what happened on that play? Did Pierre not get off the field in time? And if not, why not?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Bob, I have an early dismissal today. A couple more minutes here, and then the show is all yours, which is what you and Limits have plotted all along anyway.
We have.
And you'll probably bring Donnie Football back and try and get me fired.
No, we wouldn't go that far.
No, that's way too
far.
You
drive the bus here.
I don't
the
drive
wheels
the
on the bus go Joe,
round
Joe,
and
Joe,
round.
Joe,
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 Joe, Joe, Joe.
The wheels on the bus go Joe, 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 all through the town.
Let's hit the defense. Defensive line from Ray Fittipaldo gets a D.
Yeah, they weren't very active though. You know,
no.
And you want to see more plays from them, especially. You know, they did a good job for the most part, hemming that prolific run game down. They've been averaging a lot. They're one of the best running teams in the NFL, so they didn't do that. But they also didn't create enough interior pressure on the quarterback and make him move.
No, and they seemed to get runs when they really, really needed them. And then down on the goal line, as we talked about earlier, Trey Essex was like, why do we only have two down linemen in on a third down play from the goal line? Why do we have a nickel defense on the field? And Cam and Keanu Benton, and Essex's point is that Benton gets destroyed in double teams at the point of attack. And man, he got pushed. Him and Cam both got pushed into the end zone and they walked in. So yeah, I say a D's fair. How about the linebackers, Bob? Ray gives them a B-.
Well, they had the one big play, the combination strip sack touchdown. That's a big play.
That's big.
The inside linebackers didn't do all that much to me to make me think that they deserve a, I'll probably give them a C, just average, because I didn't see anything that makes me go above average and anything that makes me egregiously go below.
Yeah, I hear that. I thought there were some missed tackles, though, and I thought they didn't get much of a pass rush, and I thought they got smoked in coverage. So I'm going to give them a D to a D-. Limits?
I give them a C because I think the Watt play was a big one in the game and the Herbig one at the time. The inside linebackers, though, again, where's Patrick Queen?
Well, Patrick Queen, why don't you play that clip here in a minute for Bob? First, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, this is Patrick Queen seemingly and biting his tongue. Ray Fittipaldo or Brian Bacco described it. He was literally sucking his teeth as he talked here, seemingly not wanting to say what he was really feeling, but he still said a lot.
This was to Batko in the Post-Gazette.
Why do you think they were able to get guys as open as they were today?
I think we just got to be better, honestly. I think sometimes it was schematic issues that we had. It's kind of hard, for two guys that's underneath defenders to try to guard two routes, that's overhanging off the hashes and stuff. As much as you try to play the run, you try to get back to a bang or whatever it is, it's hard to do that. It's kind of a bad spot to be in, but at the end of the day, we just got to be better, try to recognize and get back.
So you said schematics again. That's if
schematic
I had,
issues.
If I had one word to describe yesterday, it would have been schematic. They did not do the right thing schematically. They weren't able to stop Chicago from making those big plays in the middle of the field. And on the other side of it, schematically, they didn't do enough to attack what was their vulnerability yesterday. All these injuries, backups, even backups leaving the game. That's an opportunity. As I said before, Austin, they're a team and they should be like most teams. When you see somebody go out, like for example, a star cornerback leaves the game and they have a young kid, they attack. Every team goes after that weak link. They want to find it. But there were plenty of them yesterday in Chicago's defense, and yet it seemed like they were just content to do what they were doing instead of some big strikes and big plays down the middle. I would like to know how that goes, just out of curiosity. How deep is the playbook, and how many things can you pull from the playbook? They knew going into that they had some injury problems, maybe not as severe as they found out over the weekend. But that's where I would have said, okay, this is where they're vulnerable. This is how we attack it this week.
Well, I think that they were able to do that in terms of second-level runs at times with Warren and with Gainwell because they were running the ball very well, significantly more rushing yards than they had passing yards. So I do think that because of that, and they discussed how many inside linebackers were hurt, and that's heart of a defense over the middle of the field. You put out the map from Next Gen Stats, they never even attacked it. They never even looked at times to the middle of the field. And I feel like this is just beating the same old drum that we continually beat, but they even had a corner that went out of the game, halfway through or into the third quarter, that they didn't try to exploit. Those are matchups, Bob, that you think that McVay, that Shanahan's, that those types of coaches would try to push the envelope on. And why Arthur Smith didn't, or maybe Mason Rudolph just decided not to make the decision, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, they had their good moments this year, too, and they made some good strategic moves. I think of the win over the Colts and Shane Steichen. I think of Brian Flores in Dublin. They had the better. They outsmarted him on a lot of plays. So, I mean, there are opportunities there to make some changes and to attack weaknesses. I just think in this game they didn't do enough of it through the air. That's the way I would have proceeded here. But there are a lot of things in this game that didn't go right and a lot of big plays as a result of them. One of them was I want to go back to that field goal potential at the end of when it was the first tush push. I forget what part of the game that was in. It was early. But they failed, even though they got it. Number one, I have an issue with replay assist. If you have it, why not use it there? It should have been clear to everyone on the field. In fact, they first marked it as if it was a first down. I mean, they looked at the sideline judges were coming in. They were on that yellow line. But then they seemed to retreat and go backwards. And I don't know why they did that.
Well, and the other thing about that, too, is it's not like the whistle had blown to stop forward progress.
No, you never do that in a tush push. Wait.
There was never a whistle until after Connor Hayward was like looking over to the sideline to see if he had picked up the first down, which by the time he had that extra effort, that extra push, he had it. So I don't know why it was ruled and why it wasn't overturned with replay. There was no announcement given of forward progress was stopped. It was just that they had marked him short, even though the replay clearly showed that Hayward had picked up the first down. So again, something else that we just have not been given any clarity on.
Right, and it's not used as much as I would like. You have it there for a reason, so use it on plays like that because that's a significant play. So they didn't get it, and Chicago goes right down and scores. The other option on that play was to kick a field goal, just say fourth and one, and people would have been upset. Well, you got to go for it on fourth and one. I get all that. Most of the time when we discuss things, it's whether or not a play was successful. And it could be a great call, Olszewski throwing a touchdown pass to Jameis Winston. If that's not successful, can you imagine the outcry after that one? What are you doing throwing Gunnar Olszewski in that? But it worked, so it was classified as a great play. Conversely, when things, you know, don't work, you look at it as, why did you not kick the field goal there? It's exactly. Easy to do it. But having said that, before that was, I'm okay with them going for it on fourth round. I thought that was my immediate response. But I can understand because we saw a lot of people on Twitter say, just kick three, make it a 10-point game. Your stance on that is what?
I had no problem with it, Bob. No problem.
So you wouldn't second guess it either. I don't second guess when I first guess what I think they should do and they agree with it.
Well, I mean, human nature, you do second guess some things. This was not one that I second guessed, no.
No.
Because of how effective the play is, obviously the Eagles run it so effectively, but the Steelers have picked it up other than this occasion, all but what, like one time?
Yeah.
They've been pretty good at it.
And the second time they had it was a brilliant play design, and no one expected coming. It was a couple of weeks ago I saw Mark Andrews of the Ravens do it. But he was the guy who handed the ball and just ran. This was a handoff, and then was it a handoff? Did he get it from
It was a handoff from Hayward, yes.
Yeah, Hayward hands it off, and then he goes. So, I mean, that was a really well-designed play. You know, the bottom line is when we look back at these games, there's always going to be stuff we break down and think, should have done this, should have done that. Overall, though, my point will be, and it was yesterday in our postgame show with Chris Hogue, they did not do enough to attack the vulnerability of the Chicago Bears. To me, that's the story of the game.
Easily. And the other thing that really stood out to me, Bob, is maybe you agree with this. It didn't seem like they trusted Mason Rudolph to attack downfield. And, of course, all those short throws are pretty much evidence of that. But after the interception with DK Metcalf, it seemed like, oh, Tomlin, we're going to put the leash back on. We do not want any interceptions. How are we going to win games? Turnovers. And from a team in Chicago that had the best turnover margin, the best differential in all of football, they gave it to you twice, and it seemed like it didn't even matter. Sure, it put 7 points on the board, but ultimately was not a big factor in the result of the game for the Steelers. It wasn't. They weren't able to fully take advantage of the other one.
They won the turnover battle. Normally, they talk about that in a good way. This was not that way. Next up, it's the Bills, then the Ravens. The Steelers are early 4-point underdogs at home in this game, despite the fact the Bills have really struggled. It will be interesting to see which Steeler team shows up, because I do think there could be a situation here where they come out and just take it to them and win a game you didn't expect them to win. You got to figure out what to do with Josh Allen. He's the one thing, even when all things are going bad, that he could single-handedly win, and he did a couple of weeks ago when he accounted for 3 passing touchdowns and 3 running touchdowns.
I feel bad with capital letters for this game, Bob, and there's a couple of reasons. Now, you might be saying, well, like, have you watched the Bills play football this year? They have a lot of issues, and yes, I do admit to that. But when it comes down to it in a game like this, playoff indications on the line, it's going to come down to quarterback play. And have the Steelers shown that they're able to, other than Lamar, play well against very mobile quarterbacks that can create and move on the run and make things happen? And well, I think Josh Allen ultimately is going to be the driving force, like he is in all Bills games, but be the reason why Buffalo, yes, does win this game. I feel really bad about this game, Bob, coming up.
And this is one of those they really have. I will attach a must win on it. I mean, given where we are, this is week 13, given where they are in the standings and the tie-breaking scenario, people don't want to reserve must until it's absolutely must. But for me, it's a home game. It's a team that's not playing well. You need to win it. Get to a tie-breaking advantage over them if it comes down to it, plus the AFC and other tiebreakers. So it's very big that way. All right, let's also talk about the situation. I want to get into Pitt a little bit because we haven't done that. But I think this is very interesting that they now are in a position where they first knocked out Georgia Tech. So they knocked them out, and Georgia Tech looks terrible. Quite frankly, you'd have to admit the ACC is not a good conference.
No.
However, somebody's going to get to that championship game, and at this moment, Pitt needs to win, and they need either SMU to lose to Cal, or they need Virginia to lose to Virginia Tech. Miami, on the other hand, is the highest-ranked team in the ACC, even though they're not among those one-loss teams. If they beat Pitt, and then one of those other things happens, they get an opportunity in the championship game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What do you think is most likely to happen?
If you're saying if Miami does go to the ACC championship game, or if
they're
held out.
No, if Miami wins, they will be hit. They don't control their destiny.
No, not at all. They need
help.
A lot.
And so does Pitt, but they need more help than Pitt does.
Correct.
So
what do I think is going to happen?
It's got to start with Pitt winning the game.
I think Pitt's going to win this game against Miami. I thought that the road was beat Notre Dame, lose to Georgia Tech, beat Miami. So maybe I just have no idea what the hell I'm talking about because they've done the complete opposite. But I do think that they're going to win this game. And part of that is I think Miami's somewhat fraudulent. I'm not a Carson Beck believer. Mason Heinchel, big bounce-back game against Georgia Tech. He looked more like the quarterback that we had seen in the previous games. They ran the football very effectively. Good day for Kyle Lewis. If Miami does lose, and that ultimately eliminates them from playoffs, but if they win and still get held out of the ACC championship game, Bob, I could see with teams losing their conference championships, like if an SEC team potentially loses, falls out of the playoff race, which probably is not going to happen, but if there's a little bit of chaos and turmoil in the SEC, that Miami and another ACT team gets in, but I think that's pretty highly unlikely.
I think it's highly unlikely just because of the lack of respect. I mean, if you look at last week's playoff standings that came out on Tuesday, and we'll have another one this week, they actually have Tulane in one of the spots.
Tulane would be the highest group of five team.
Right, so that committee puts value in that team and what they've done, so you know, bottom line is Pitt has to win, and they have to hope one of those two teams. Of those other two teams, SMU and Cal, I think Cal's, they just fired their coach, but there's something interesting about firing a coach. When you fire a coach, you can get a result like UCLA did against Penn State, right?
Or how Penn State has gone on a little bit of a run here lately.
Right. I mean, there's an inspirational something that brings that team together. Is that enough for Cal to pull an upset against SMU?
No.
I agree with you. The other one is Virginia in Charlottesville against Virginia Tech.
I think that there's a better chance of that
because
happening.
Why?
Well,
rivalry game. That's
rivalry
why.
Game. You're on the road. Virginia Tech, for if I don't know how much this matters, but it seems like with Franklin now hired, there's a little bit more pep in their step, and they're also playing for the rights to, hey, are you entering the transfer portal, or does James Franklin want to keep you? Because he's bringing in all new recruits from his Penn State recruiting class. He's going to get guys to try to transfer from Penn State. If you're Virginia Tech, this is an open audition for you. If you win this game, to potentially stick around and be on the roster next year. And I think that does matter.
No, it does matter. But I don't think it's going to matter enough. So I think Pitt's going to be on the outside looking in only because they need too much help. And I don't see both those teams losing. So even if they do win, still a good season. One conference loss. If you told me that at the beginning of the year, I would have signed up for that, not knowing the other mechanics of what this conference has gone through. But at least it'll be fascinating. It's a noon start. We'll have it for you here on 93.7 The Fan. Now, the other thing, Terry Smith, speaking of a coaching change, they went to Iowa, had a chance. And again, this is why I think Cal could be in an interesting situation against SMU. Terry Smith has done pretty well given the, what he has now is that players on that team want him to be named new head coach. So they have signs ready yesterday or Saturday on the field. Hire Terry Smith. Hire Terry Smith. He's done a fabulous job. He's a big time, Penn State guy through and through. And I think will be regardless. But can he end up getting that job? Should he, given the fact he's never been a head coach at that level? And last night, Will Graves on our showdown made a very good point. Sometimes you can get carried away with all the enthusiasm and the passion that goes into believing one thing. West Virginia had Bill Stewart, who won a big bowl game. And he really hadn't been in a position of head coach before. He was an interim. As soon as that happened, they made him the head coach, and it was the wrong decision.
Remember that run that the Raiders went on with Antonio Pierce
before him? How about the Bisaccia guy? Yep. Same thing. You can get drawn into what, oh, man, this guy's bringing energy. He's never done it before. Look, we have it.
Be careful with interims.
And I'm not saying that Terry Smith couldn't get it done. It just seems to me that they're running out of ammunition here. I don't know who's left. The guys they seem to have wanted are all either gone or going someplace else. What does Penn State do at this point?
It's a great question, Bob. And I don't know what the answer is. What I would do is keep Terry Smith, whether it be as associate head coach or to make him GM or co-GM with somebody who knows how to run a program in terms of the financial aspect of it. I don't know how, Terry's a really good recruiter.
Yeah, but they have those guys in the city, they have GMs now, they have assistant GMs.
And they don't have a GM.
But they need one.
They need one, yes. They need a GM to basically be their money guy. So I would try to keep Terry Smith on any way possible and prevent him from going to Virginia Tech with Franklin or if Pitt tries to poach him. But I do think that they need a head coach that's been there, done that, that has won, or at least it has the experience at that level. I think about how Michigan promoted their, I guess, would you call Sherrone Moore an interim?
Yes.
I guess, from basically what happened with Harbaugh. And they're doing fine. They're getting Michigan back to it. But I think it's easier said than done.
Yeah, I do too. And my question to you, though, whose list? Drinkwitz, I watched their game the other day, and I wasn't impressed with anything that happened
there. And
he has
a bad record against top 25 teams,
just
too.
Like Rule, just like all those guys. I mean, they're
Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
Well, I mean, he has an attachment to Terry Pegula. He's, all this stuff. It seems to me like they got to get it done. If you had to look at a time frame, this is what, if I'm them, I'm concerned about. Transfer portal has been pushed back, so you can still do that.
Right.
But you're also, every day that goes by, there's an advantage for somebody else to do something.
There's an advantage for Franklin right now to try to recruit all your kids.
Absolutely.
That you're trying to get.
And you don't think that's going on? Of course it is.
Oh, Matt Sigg of Fort Cherry went on a visit this weekend. The star quarterback, the four-star they were trying to get from California, was on a visit to Virginia Tech, too. Expert projection from, those 24/7 sports and On3 say he's going to go there.
Right.
So you're behind the eight ball right now.
So it will be interesting, and we'll have to see how soon something like this happens. But I think a lot of those players on that team, obviously, like Terry Smith, want him to get the job, but there is some danger in hiring somebody like that just because of the energy brought since the departure of James Franklin.
What would you do, Bob?
That's a good question, because I don't know. I would like to see their list of people. I don't know who else is on it. I think, the Ohio State, Brian Hartline, that's a guy, he has what it takes, it would appear, but I don't know if that's the right choice for them. And who else is being talked about?
There's also been some talk from some people that will there be a surprise candidate comes out of the woodwork? Nobody really expects. Who is that going to be?
Maybe. Are there any? I haven't heard a lot of names as far as surprise candidates.
We know they're not approaching anybody like Freeman or Dan Lanning or anything like that. I think everything's being held up by Lane Kiffin, too. If Kiffin does leave Ole Miss, does Drinkwitz get the Florida job? Who gets the Auburn job? Like the SEC, there's a lot of coaching openings as well right now where Penn State's kind of in lingo with that. So Drinkwitz is an option. If Alabama loses to Auburn, Kalen DeBoer is going to get run out of that town, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
And they don't make the playoffs because one more loss, they're out.
They started with a loss to Florida State, and people said, oh, Florida State, it goes, the more. Now he's going to be out of head coach, Mike Norvell, I would imagine.
They actually are bringing him back next year.
They are going to bring him back. Wow, I was surprised by that, given how they change so frequently. One final question before we go to break here, and that would be James Franklin. I want you, like I've asked people to do, and I've looked myself into my own crystal ball about James Franklin. I think he is going to make a huge turnaround in that program,
huge.
And I think it'll happen quickly.
Like
I do.
Playoffs quickly?
No, I don't know about that quickly, but within a couple of years, yes. I think you're going to see an influx of talent that comes. I think they're ready for that down there. I think they will support him with whatever they need in NIL money. He'll get the people because he knows how to recruit that area better than anyone. And I think you'll see a big upgrade soon. And I don't know about college football playoff, but within 2 years, I'd say yes. My question is 5 years from now, is he still the head coach of Virginia Tech? Because you see these coaches come and go, and there are always some big-time openings. And we're seeing $90 million thrown to Lane Kiffin's way. If he has an opportunity to move on to another place, would he do it?
I think he would.
I do too. I think there would be some fascination that he has with some big-time job again.
Well, there was some smoke around him with the USC job years ago.
Yeah.
And so, did he want the Auburn job? Some people were putting it out there as well. So, Virginia Tech makes a lot of sense, recruiting-wise, fit-wise, being able to win in the ACC. But ultimately, I think Franklin will try to get back to a power conference. Yeah. I mean, his previous two stops were the Big Ten and the SEC. Maybe he'll go to the Big 12 next, Bob. Maybe he tries to go to all four conferences.
That would be interesting. Four corners of football. He'd take care of them all.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.